This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Supreme Raiders of Resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, story so grand. Reselling Raiders, rulers of the land. Reselling Raiders, treasure we chase. Hat house fired up, coaching the race. Vintage.
Down.
Sorry, boys. Man. I was getting absolutely active right there.
Yeah, that song is hard not to move to. I'll tell you that. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Raiders of Reselling podcast live from the Hat House. I am Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Garrett Up Finds. Tonight, we're going to talk about deep dive into pricing strategies. I really wanted to hear some of your thoughts about that. And that's going to be our main theme. And as always, we love to hear from you guys. If you can catch us live, make sure you get over to the YouTube side, get in the comments there. If you're on Instagram, we appreciate you watching. You can hang out there, but if you want us to see your comments, you want to join the discussion, make sure you get on the YouTube side. So we make sure and see your comments. Love to see you guys there. And everybody else in podcast land, really appreciate it. We had the most number of downloads in one day a couple of days ago. So that was really exciting. Let's go, boys. That was really exciting to see.
To the moon, CJ. What's up, baby?
To the moon. It's going really well. Make sure to catch us on Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Amazon, any of those places. Leave us a 5-star review, and we would really appreciate that. And as always, we got to have a sponsor for this week. Can't wait. It's been a secret. It was like
Holy cow. Here we go.
This one. Listen, I was on Twitter. Okay. I was tweeting. A huge brand reached out to us. Huge. They said, you guys are the biggest thing since sliced bread, since putting butter in a container. They were like, We got to sponsor you. And I said, okay. You guys want to know who it is?
Done.
Huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Say hello to Shake Weight. Give it up for Shake Weight.
Oh,
Shake Woo! Weight.
I have the glove. Mary, go get my Shake Weight.
See, they already sent Hat House one, of course. Say hello to Shake Weight. the glorified jack off machine that somehow made it past quality control, marketing, and the Geneva Convention. Yes, folks, I'm being real. A vibrating dumbbell that turns your workout into a public indecency charge. Ever wanted to look like you're in the world's worst adult film and not gain any muscle? Boo! Shakeweight has got your back. Now listen, listen. If you guys use code Raiders of Reselling, when you order one, they will send you another one absolutely free. Why? Because what's the fun in one shame scepter? Dual wielding bad decisions like fitness version of a porn Sith Lord. Shake weight for when you want to work out, but also look like you're trying to summon a demon with pelvic energy. Thank you, Shake Weight.
Shake Weight for the win.
Sound like a good Wednesday. Yes.
I mean, these, like every time you go into a Goodwill, I'm pretty sure there is at least one Shake Weight and one Shiatsu massager on the shelf. So yes. I'm pretty sure that's where I got this at some point, but I got to use it a little bit more. I'm just kind of, my forearms are just not where they need to be.
Right. Yep. Now. Yep. Totally doesn't look suspect at all.
No, not at all. Not a fit.
No, totally doesn't look like you're practicing in public at all.
I don't think the resale's that great on the old shake weights, but
I actually have, if you find them in the box with the DVD, I've sold two of them. Now they're not like, you know, they're not $100 or that, but like
there's a DVD.
Yeah. It comes in like a box or whatever. And there's, or I don't know if there's a DVD, but there's like a little manual inside. It's like a long box. And
is it Richard Simmons? I mean,
I think it's, I think it's Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow.
I think it's Sheryl Crow in a deep voice.
Sweating with the oldies.
Yes.
Sweating with the Crowster.
Yeah. Thank you, Shake Weight. You guys are the best.
Shake Weight for the win.
I will say, before we jump into this thing, number one, thank you guys for all the downloads. Number two, you guys don't drink enough water. Or not even water, just liquids in general. I can't believe that you can talk on this thing for over an hour every week. Really, really just Rob. I see Steven drinking sometimes. Rob doesn't ever take a sip of anything. How is your mouth not just as dry as the Sahara Desert?
It's right here. That looks like piss water, dude.
It's it's tea.
Is it?
Yeah, that's piss, dude.
Oh, could be a beer.
Okay. Could be a beer. 100% could be a beer.
It's tea. This is 100% tea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody said it was beer, but I don't think so.
Well, I just want to say you guys need to get your liquid intake up, all right?
I agree. Stay hydrated out there.
Yeah.
I have that problem when I do shows.
Oh, dude, I keep so many cups of water next to me.
Yeah.
I literally have that a bottle like that sitting right next to me the whole time. It's the fact that I can't reach over and grab it because the show is just going. I'm trying to keep it going because once you stop, you got to start pushing uphill again.
Yeah, exactly. Donnie, what's up, dude?
Oh, man, I haven't even looked in the comments.
We got Donnie's up in here. CJ Money Ben's Fines is in here.
Yeah. Oh, look, I even fixed the chat.
I kind of liked last week.
How it was just covering Rob the whole time?
It just blocked me the whole time?
Yeah.
Just say her like this.
Let's throw up a chat.
Oh, that's literally so funny. How was your guys' week? I truly have not. We truly have not talked all that much this week. I feel like we normally talk more.
Yeah, I've been.
What you guys been doing?
What's going on?
I've been working my butt off.
Yeah, I got a lot of that extracurricular family stuff going on, but
yeah.
I've put my nose to the grindstone on just listing on eBay. And I never really toot my own horn. And I looked up and I'm at 53,000 total sales on eBay forever, lifetime. And it's really in the past four or five years.
CJ, I told you, dude, look at CJ's comment, dude. I told you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Dude, almost a 50% sell-through rate and $25 plus ship. I told you, dude.
I guess it's better than I thought. Is that new in the box? Is this a $25 bill right here? Maybe.
Yeah, the only two I've ever sold were in the box.
Okay.
They're also the okay. All right, let's not test out the freaking spring on the end, dude. That dude was freaking out of control. Yeah, dude, shake weight, $25, 48%.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
48% sell through, 25 plus ship, dude. Yeah, in the box. Find you one in the box, dude. It's a quick $25. Easy. They sell my yard sales for literally a dollar. I never paid. I paid a dollar for both of mine at yard sales.
A little early on the bolos, but that's why you guys tune in.
Yep.
To hear what we got.
So 53,000 sold items.
Yeah.
That's an incredible amount, dude.
It is. It's really amazing that I've shipped that many. I mean, I would say probably like 70% hats. It's probably 35,000 hats, I would guess.
Gosh, dang.
In sold. It's just kind of crazy that I was looking at that today. And I never really talk about that stuff too much. I used to do lives where we kind of went over the numbers and stuff and how things were selling. I haven't done that lately, but I wanted to talk about inventory this week because you fired up, just moved his whole operation over, and it's kind of some good inventory. And how
new attack
setting it up, and you kind of went to, you're going to the number and boxing it and making sure that they're all in numerical order, and you're switching it over right now.
So we're basically running. So historically, Amanda has had her own stores and I've had my own stores. So when we moved into this office, we're taking and combining. Now we're just doing one eBay, one Depop, one Poshmark, you know, just one of everything. So having to take her, you know, she has 400 listings or something like that on Depop, and transitioning, you know, taking all of those, keeping them on Depop, but also cross-listing them to the eBay that I started. So like I said, before Whatnot, I was a lot better at doing inventory. I had bins at first, and then in poly bags, and then the custom SKU for that item would just be A, B, C, D, E. So I would know to go into that bin. And it would, you know, you can only fit so many things in a bin. So it wasn't like you were really going to fumble through like a ton of items. And then I started Whatnot, and then my whole inventory thing just went to absolute shit. So what we did was,
grab one here.
What we did was for clothing, we started doing it this way. So I have multiple shelves in this room right here. It extends the full length of the office. There's multiple shelves in there. And on these shelves are these boxes. I'll get you the dimensions because I had to look it up for us, the ones that work the best. Give me like 2 seconds. They are 24 by 10 by 8. So 24 inches long, 8 inches wide, or 10 inches wide, 8 inches high. So, So 24 by 10 by 8. If you go with U-line, they're 25% more expensive if you go with U-line over Amazon. Because with U-line, you got to pay for the shipping. The shipping alone on this is like $60, dude. Okay.
I never knew who's buying stuff from Uline, really.
Yeah, unless you're people, one of the people that have the ordering codes
in bulk can order from Uline and get free shipping.
Yeah. So I got these on Amazon. They cost for a 25 pack, they cost $54 with free shipping. $54 for 25 of them. I didn't grab the very last numbers, but we're up to like 300 and some change. Yeah. And I still have. Say
10 by 6?
20. Yeah, 24 by 10 by 8. 24 by right. 10 by 8. They come in a 25 pack. They're $54. We're about 300 clothing items in, a lot of t-shirts. The only thing I don't put in these are the big heavy jackets. You know, just anything that's like insanely bulky, right? It, like something super bulky. Yeah, just because like, I mean, that might work. But I'm talking like, you know, there's like some Carhartt jackets and stuff like that. That would take us,
like a coat.
You know.
Like a coat.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, not a quarter zip, like a coat.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like I said, we're about 300-ish items in, and I have an entire thing of 25 left, and I probably have 30 boxes left. I bought 50. I bought 50 boxes. Probably about 30 of them left, about 300 items in. So it's super easy, dude. You just, when you're listing on eBay, you go down to the custom SKU. They can't see it. The buyer can't see it. And right. You just start at, we bought these little labels right here, also from Amazon. It's 0000. So it'll go up to 1,000. It gives you from number 1 to 1,000. And we just do it that way. So every item that will go in there. Yeah. You know, we'll go in there, we'll custom SKU it. And that way we shipped a bunch of items already from this system. And, you know, just like we did an okay job of not like actually losing things. Definitely lost some stuff for sure. But, you know, we didn't lose as much, I guess, but the amount of time that it takes to go and try to remember where you have that and what bin you have it in, because I just started tossing shit in the bin. You know what I mean? No bag. I just toss shit in the bin.
Mikey, so check this out.
The amount of,
they make a roll, a blank roll.
So you can write them. Yeah.
That will go through your
Rolo, your,
like Rolo or okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
You get yourself a little, just do a simple Excel thing and just print them off.
Yeah, these, if you guys haven't noticed yet, these guys are the tech dudes. I can't tell you the first thing about anything that he just said.
Well, I mean, but it gives you infinite numbers.
Infinite numbers. Yeah, there you go. So we got up to 1,000 right here. And then I have a couple other racks on the other side that are just hard good racks. You know what I mean? Things that you can just look at the rack and you'll see what's on there. You don't, there's Xboxes and PlayStations and, you know, just different things that aren't clothing items. That's how we've been doing it. Now, the best thing that you can do for anybody in here that has either a small store or is just beginning a store, do it right now. Do it right now. Because there's 600 items, basically. There's about 100 of them that were done. So there's about 500 items that we're now converting over to this. 500, just clothing items. So having to grab a bin, Amanda will sit at the computer. I'll sit at the other desk and I'll go, you know, Ralph Lauren, red, whatever. And she'll just type in the keywords and then it'll come up and then we'll custom SKU it from there. So it takes obviously a lot longer when you're doing it that way versus just taking a photo of it, putting it in the bag, SKUing it there, and then adding it to your listing.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page on this inventory for clothing. That is the only way to do it if you're going to do this long term. Really, anything over like 100 items, really. I mean, it's almost necessity to be able to find what you're looking for. I hope I don't. I sent y'all a picture today of this because I was trying to figure out how to do all these earbuds, and I kind of rigged something up. And
we might not want to show it. The U.S. Postal Service come right after you.
I know the post office might come get me, but I'm going to say I had
postal jail.
There it is. Here we go. So I made these little, like, pretty much the same thing. These are almost, because I bought some card boxes. you know, like the card people use that divide all the cards. Yeah. And they're like $15 to $30 a piece. But I was like, I don't want to buy like six or seven more of those.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
So I had a few priority mailboxes sitting around, and I did a little cut and paste right here. And it's going to be really good for these earbuds. I think that will work out really good. And I would suggest anybody that does anything small to try to figure out some way to still do the inventory process like that and to keep things lined up, whatever you got to do. I'm sure there's lots of ways to do it, but it was pretty cool.
Hey, a little time up front saves you on the back end a lot.
I was trying to find the steel racks that are the metal racks that I use, but Walmart's not wanting to show me them. But I mean, a ton of the 300 or so Walmart items has filled up about three quarters of one rack. If you can, I don't know, I could walk you guys in there.
I do not do hats that way. I still do hats in. They have their own bin. Everything's lined up. The hat, I pull the hat box out and I can see the hats.
How many hats on average are you fitting in one bin? One bin.
It's kind of look like that, right, Mike?
Yeah, but it's five tier, right? Is that a five tier?
That's a five tier.
Like yeah. That's it. Should be like $100 ish, something like that.
What I did is I bought extra shelves so I could move it down and just have the right spacing in between there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. When we went over to this one, I was able to create more tiers on the rack because the boxes are shorter than the bins.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yep.
There's probably, I don't know, what is this, about 12 inches? I'm just playing. there's like 6 inches or so. 8 inches maybe between the top of the box and then the bottom of the next shelf. It just makes it super easy.
Yeah. We tried to do numbers on hats for a little while and it just did not work out. We just kind of scrapped it and went back to the other way. And I don't know what makes hats that much different than the clothes, but it just is. I don't know. There's really no good way. I don't bag every single hat either. Just the only good place to put the label really was on the underneath the bill on the hat. And so you really didn't save any time by just being able to see the hat, like the number when you pull it out.
I will tell you this. There's a guy on Whatnot, and he sells just a truckload of hats every month. And he has the little, I know Mikey thinks that's about 12 inches, but the little, they're like the little silver stickers.
Yeah.
They're high numbers. I mean, he's like in the five digits. And he literally puts them right on the button. And he has all of his hats collapsed down in order. And he has the number literally on each button so he can see them in a row.
Wow. And so he numbers them for Whatnot.
I think numbers them for Whatnot. I think it's his inventory system, and he just brings it over to the Whatnot show.
So you think he's pulling? That's the way he does it for eBay and for everything. And then he's
probably
items. Yeah,
probably. That's, and I think after his show, he's probably going through and taking it out of his inventory.
Yeah,
the number on each button.
Yeah, I would like to have it. I'd like to have 3,500 hats all numbered. It'd be quite the undertaking to go back and redo it, but it would be really nice. It would be nice to have it. I just don't know and the other thing is, if you condense something, you really have to condense everything. Mm-hmm. And that's where you kind of run into that problem, is you can't just, if you have an empty box and it's in the middle of your numbering system, you have to condense everything down that way,
yeah,
to that, to get more room. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a pain in that way, but you pull this way
out, slide everything over and keep numbering up.
But then you have to slide everything from, say you have a gap at, you've sold number 995 to 1,010. You know what I mean? You've sold all, yeah, those. Then you have to, but you have 5,000 listed. So you have to take the rest of those 3,000 and some change. And as you're taking
I meant literally back, just move the boxes over and not change the numbers.
Yeah, you could pull that one box out and then adjust everything down and then put that empty box back down at the end. You can just move the boxes.
Yeah.
But the way that I do it,
renumber everything. That's insane.
Right. Right. The way I do it is I just basically just condense bins is really all that it is. And then
I've seen it.
Where
you guys go into the shed and you pull all the light boxes and condense them all into one.
Yeah. Mary can condense probably 20 to 30 in about 30 minutes. And then I just move everything over. And
well,
I wouldn't suggest. Mary's
magical.
She is good. But I wouldn't suggest doing it that way. Numbering it is still better to keep track of stuff. But I think it might just be kind of special for the hats, the way that I have the hats. We pick pretty fast too. But
well, I mean, it's different for everybody. Everybody's going to have some nuance to their system.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I will tell you that inventory has historically not been my specialty, but I am getting better. I am slowly but surely, I am getting better. It's just a catch-up game. You know what I mean? Like when you already have a store that's a couple hundred or whatever items, you know, big or whatever, it's the catch-up is, it is rather annoying because you're still trying to list new items, you know, and also do the inventory and
list,
you know,
list all the old items
you need to, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so.
Like you have four huge bags shoved up under your table.
Yeah, those are actually like laundry bags right there. Those are need to be washed or soaked or something.
I don't even know how I could show this to you. Hold on.
DA, what does your inventory system look like?
Is that laundry or what? No.
That's not laundry. Nope. Don't tell anybody it's there.
Yeah. Show the world.
Yeah. Show it's interesting world. Interesting to hear what everybody's own way of doing things are and their own little inventory system.
Yeah.
Let us know in the chat how you do your inventory. I'm kind of interested to hear from everybody out there, or at least
especially if they don't do, if they, I want to know what people do that don't do a lot of clothing. You know what I mean? Because right. I, the first six, seven, 8 months or whatever, I almost did no clothing. I didn't even look for an article of clothing because I was like, it's so boring. Right. And so, so I just had racks smack full of, you know, everything that wasn't clothing. You know, there was everything on there, electronics and antiques and everything. So, I never lost anything. Like it's, for me, it's super easy just to, you know, go, your three racks are in front of you or whatever, and you can just go look and be like, all right, I'm looking for, you know, this PlayStation or whatever. And, you know, it's pretty easy to see it.
Yeah. So. The only other YouTuber that I watch doing reselling, Lonnie Shed Flips. That's basically how he does it, is just racks, and each one has its own name or number. And he looks on that shelf and they inventory it all that way. And, that's one way to live. As I've been picking stuff up from the bins, I've really.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up. Even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Just been using a huge poly bag and numbering that huge poly bag and whatever it is, putting it in there and still trying to keep it in line like that. But there are going to be some items that just don't fit.
Huge. Did we get any bench time this week?
I didn't. Nope. Haven't been to the bins. I know. It's disappointing.
You're really crushing your goal of going like three or four times a week, huh?
Yeah, I know. I was talking to Mary. I was like, how are we going to get back to the bins? We were talking earlier, and like, hopefully when the boys get back in school and
our kids are on spring break or on summer break.
Yeah, hopefully.
Take the kids, their extra hands to dig.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get back to it. But a lot going on here and just trying to get everything.
Boys, get in here. You got to earn your keep.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
How many earbuds do we have in the house right now? Earbuds, 500. Yeah, I got 500 earbuds that I got to get listed. Yeah. So it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to talk yourself into getting up, and when I have 400 hats to list, and then 500 earbuds that need to be listed.
Oh yeah.
And then you're like, all right, I could probably walk down to the bins and find.
Let's go.
Some $50-$100 profit items, but it's hard to talk yourself into doing it when you got all this other work that's sitting in front of you. But
yeah,
it is fun. It is fun.
Yeah, I had that problem. That's my whole problem is I have enough work here that I'm like, I could do it, but then I'm like, want to know what's way more fun is going out and finding this shit.
Yeah, and that's why you got hooked on Whatnot, because you can just it can all be gone like that though.
Yeah, exactly. Really, like I said, that whole rack is going to be gone.
Four giant bags under my table.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, and I don't. It's not even the selling. It's just the. It's definitely not even the Whatnot either. It's just the. Like I said last week, my goal is to get the other platforms that are not Whatnot up to, you know, a certain mark every month. So like, I haven't even looked at Whatnot since I did my last show. You know what I mean? Like, I've just been trying to focus on getting this to where it needs to be. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know. It actually kind of makes me sad. Cause I'm like,
I don't know.
You really haven't done a show in like,
no, I haven't done a show in basically a whole month.
Has it done a show? Shit, I don't even come to a show.
No, I haven't. I've
You're MIA been on like me?
Twice, probably. Dude, I just been like, it's been
solo,
just like you.
I'm solo.
I know, just like you, dude. It's been busy over here. Hey,
I'm holding down the fort, guys.
Yeah, hold down the fort. So
appreciate you, Rob. We know you're.
Did you guys get the? Did you guys get the bat signal from? From a collab closet?
Yes.
Yeah.
July 31st.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody out there, holler at us on the 31st of July. We'll be freaking running some hats.
I got some good ones.
Yeah.
I might have some. We're going to support. I'm not going to do it. I might not be here.
You're going to buy a hat.
Be there, dude.
No, I said I'll be there to support. I won't be there to sell.
Well, you need to be there.
That's all I said. I said, collab. I said, we got to hook up one time, man, where I'm not away.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Donnie is trashing the bins. Donnie, you just got to keep going.
Donnie, you got to sharpen them elbows, brother.
Yeah, you got to get in there.
That's actually...
You got to block out.
That's not a horrible way to do it, Darren. If you... are only sourcing sports hats.
Oh wow.
That makes a ton of sense. But you know,
let me read this. What? Darren the DA says he organizes his hats by league and team, so it's easier to find. but I still think I need smaller bins. And that's
what did you see? Is one of
the podcast
go,
lanes
go up three and see what he said up there. He's got like 200 hats in each bin.
Holy smokes. I have about 200 hats in one bin. Takes too long to go through. Yeah.
Hey, that's not a bin. That's not a bin, DA. That's a swimming pool, dude.
Right.
Hey, Don, that's a bathtub. Need to get to
the, I Don, will.
You need to get to those bins and.
Yeah.
LFG, baby.
This guy just bought a whole bunch of the most random shit I've ever seen in my life. Oh, dude. That's like so funny.
I couldn't pass up on that one, man. Let's fucking go.
DA, I will send you a picture of the boxes that I use, and because I get 25, I never answered your question. It's 25 hats in a box, so it's not a whole lot of hats to look through when you know that you narrowed it down to that bin. And
are you using the same size as that, the 24 inch long boxes, or do you know the dimensions of yours?
It's really close. Right. Mine was like 15, but I ended up cutting them in half. So I got two out of each box. And so they're really like 24 inches long by 6 inches high. And they're a little bit shorter than people use for the clothing.
Yeah.
So I don't have to like dig down in the box, and I can just pull out the box of hats and I can see everything really easy. They're not like shoved down in there.
Nice. Yeah, that's a I don't know.
You don't know.
DA had what's up to my favorite one? Cousin, uncle, and grandpa. Oh, Brandon.
Yeah, I would get nervous too that you had the same hat in the box. Or something really similar out of 200 hats.
Man. I mean, unless they're identical condition, you know, they're all of them are new attack. That's the only thing that I've ran into is that I have of all the clothes so far. Well, I think probably just in general, I have three of the exact same brand new attacks, Levi's, same size, same everything. And so I just custom, you know, I didn't make three individual listings. I just did the quantity as three on eBay and then skewed that one and then just put the other two right behind that number. So that way I'll just, you know, grab one of the non-numbered ones and so on and so forth. But that's only because I know that they're, you know, they don't have any other flaws that the other ones don't have. They're all literally identical. So
I have a box of Nike polos that's that way. The box is not all Nike polos new with tags. And they're listed, you know, they're on one of the multi listings where you have the different sizes and different quantities. So they're all listed. They're all listed together. And then what I've done is when I put them in the bag, I made sure the tag with the SKU number, the actual SKU number of the piece and the size and everything that identified it was on the outside. I could see it, and it still had the custom SKU on it. But I could go through them and go, okay, I need a 1641 large. Oh, it's this one.
Hell yeah.
Right on.
So there's levels to it. You know, there's inventory within inventory.
Yeah. It'll get better. It's just like anything else. This is for me, definitely, and for anybody else that is, you know, newer to the game or whatever, is that just like anything else in a whole entire world, the more that you do it, the better you'll become at it. And you'll learn little tips and tricks and by either watching people or, you know, doing it on your own and knowing that this method works better for you. You know, cause eventually like, you know, I want to have.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save.
Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
You know, a store as big as Stevens, you know what I mean? Where there's multiple thousand, you know, thousands of things and so on and so forth. So, you know, that would be nice. I want to be able, I just want to be able to have that, that size store. Cause listen, I tell Amanda this, I'm like, if Steven can support his whole family on kids and wife and all the other shit on his
cat,
eBay store,
the cat.
Yeah. And the cat, there's no his unhealthy addiction to, the Boomer Sooners. Then I'm and like, there's no reason that us or anybody else for that matter can't also do it. You know what I mean? You just have to have goals and, you know, just be willing to freaking grind. So,
I would say you are doing it. You two are doing it.
Yeah. But I'm saying to like, you know, from like the kind of, we're probably like one step above the base level hobby, you know, like weekend picker, kind of just sell a couple things or whatever, but we're not like, you know, we're not on top. Right. Does that make sense? Like we're not, if there's 10 tiers to this game, we're like level 3 or something, you know?
Well,
so
I'm going to disagree with that. I think you're a lot higher than you think.
Well,
not many people are chasing down moving vans full of stuff to sell.
Yeah, you're a little more.
I don't know anybody at level 3 that's going, I want to buy that whole damn U-Haul from you. That's not a level 3 thing. You know what's level 3?
Sell it all 3 days later.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You know what's level
3? Well, I'm thinking like level 10,
Nike
dude.
Shirt like this.
That shit's actually gas. What's the tag on that one?
Go back. The big blackie.
Oh. Still sweet. Newer, but sweet. I don't know. Because I look at level 10 as being like, you know, like tech and sports. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
That, you know what I mean? Like, you're making, you know, you're in the high six figure breaking into the million, you know, $1 million range. So eventually, that's where we want to be.
My sales have steadily declined over the past 3 years, mainly because I think I narrowed down to, we've talked about this, I think I narrowed down to much into hats, but, I've kept it between the 200 to 300 since in that time. And I really
200 really, to $300,000 in gross sales.
Yeah. And so we really need to get it. It really needs to be closer to 300.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, that's my whole goal is adding on this other layer and that pushing it past the 250, closer to 350. And I really hope I can get there. I'm giving myself a year from last month to, and I'm not measuring it like from January to December. I'm going to measure it from like, I guess June basically to next June and try to get there. That's my goal.
Yeah. I think that's the most important thing, which I was literally just talking about this earlier today, was the difference between basically what Amanda and I have been doing, which is a goalless reselling business. Just the goal is to make the money, right? But there's not like an actual dollar amount that you want to make per month or per year or whatever. And so that, in my opinion, it leaves a lot of like ebbs and flows. Like if you have a goal of say 10K gross per month, then you know, in order to get there, you know, these are the steps that you have to take in order to get there versus just saying, I'm going to make some extra money and go out and find stuff to sell it, which is totally fine as well. But you never, you know, some months you get lucky or whatever, or maybe you have more time or whatever the case is, and you do a $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 a month, whatever it is. And then the next month is like, you know, a $3,000 or a $5,000 month. And so there's not like a really consistent, even if you don't necessarily reach it 100% of the time, to have that goal there is kind of where, that's why I say like the whole I look at us as being like a level three, because, you know, from there on, I think you're really basing a lot of what you do on a day-to-day basis on having a goal of either every month or every 90 days that you're wanting to reach this goal. And that's why you're going to source what you source, sell what you sell, you know what I mean? So on and so forth. So that's kind of the whole, like, for us, the transition into, I call it a lot of the times with you guys, I call it being more professional. You know what I mean? Because, like, that's basically what it is. You know what I mean? You're taking it from being much more of a hobby that has turned into making really good money for sure, but much more of a hobby type of thing, to being a more professional, hey, let's look at it from a Fortune 500 business aspect of there's margins and there's goals and there's quotas.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even though you're going to impose them on yourself, but it keeps you accountable. And that's what we talk about. The space is having a bill for the business, keeps the business accountable to have to generate at least that amount of income every month to pay for it. You know what I mean?
A minimum productivity level that you're going to have to make your goals.
Yeah. Which we fucking grind at it for sure. Like, we're definitely, we're not lazy. Like, we're like, you know, you guys know us by now. And a lot of people can watch over the last 2.5 months. None of us are like, you know, we're not just sitting around playing video games. You know what I mean? Like, any of our free time, well, you know, Steven's entire job is this. And then, you know, Rob and I, when we're not at our day jobs or whatever, then this is what, you know, this is what we do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's every second that I'm not working, and I'm sure Rob's the same. Then you guys spend some time with your, you know, your wife and kids. But
I'm very lazy.
Are you?
I am. I'm very lazy, but somehow I still source all this shit
and sell it.
You're a sourcing maniac.
Yeah,
absolute maniac.
But I, and it shows the different stages the three of us are in. You know, Steven's doing it. It's his constant grind. And then, you know, the young gun's coming along here trying to make it his grind because he wants to stop being corporate. And honestly, literally, my wife and I just got into this to try and figure out what to do post-retirement. So you don't become that couple that goes and gets the little part-time job at the golf course or this, that, and the other thing. But do something cool together. So basically, I set this up as a learning experience to grow to prosperity post-retirement. So for me, my goal is just to kind of keep learning as I go. Yeah. Now, could I turn the switch a little higher and grind harder on this? Sure. Sure. I mean, I'm exceeding.
Coach could be live 7 days a week.
I could.
He has enough inventory, that's for sure.
There's no way I could do that. I would cry myself to sleep.
I think in pure inventory, you have probably 500 live streams that you could do. Because you have so much shit.
Storage locker. You're counting the storage locker too, right?
Oh my!
You have a storage building full of stuff too.
It's not full, no. And actually, the storage. Actually, timeout.
That sounded in denial.
The storage unit was actually for my wife and I for our Christmas stuff and other family stuff and stuff like that. Then I just started dropping stuff off over there and making totes and organizing it over there.
Yeah, that's
golf bags I have for sale are over there.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Slightly in denial.
Yeah, that's the whole, like,
well, except for this golf bag.
I wasn't drinking all night.
This golf bag's here.
Yeah, that one's sweet. Cool. You showed that one off last week. I love that thing. What damn... Brandon said that I will chase down a squirrel for a nut. He ain't wrong.
So we haven't even really got to pricing strategies. Inventory could take up your entire time. I guess that is, if you let it, it can consume you, and it can take up your entire time trying to ship and trying to fix it if you don't do it right the first time. But
You can also be super efficient at it.
Yeah.
Brandon, I do collect stuff. I collect all kinds of stuff. I mean, I was Mikey could tell you, when I gave him a tour of the basement, all the walls out there are Ravens memorabilia. My office is the same way. Now, I'll tell you this. I do collect a lot of golf stuff, too. And surprisingly, once I got on Whatnot, I think I probably have about 1,200 pops.
Oh, shit.
Funko Pops?
Yeah, Funko Pops.
What are you going to do with those?
Keep them. Well, I collect them, so. Although, yeah, I'll probably sell the ones I don't want.
1,200 Funko Pops.
1,200 Funko Pops is absolutely out of control, dude. Dude, this guy isn't going to retire anytime soon, dude. He's got a freaking problem. Dude, Funko Pops. Holy shit, dude. I didn't know anybody actually bought those.
I can guarantee you this. By the time I turn 62, everything will be gone.
How old are you now?
56.
56 now?
Oh. Yep.
Yeah, well, shit, I'd hope so in the next...
You got six years to liquidate. On
December 31st, and then I got 5 years past that.
Steven, do you collect anything other than OU stuff?
I don't, no. That's really just Oklahoma hats and a little bit of OU stuff. That's really all I collect. When I first started, I can't even think of the name of them right now. I started collecting some of the what are the metal models? What is it?
Diecast?
Not Danbury Mint. What's the other one? Franklin Mint. Yeah, those Franklin Mint, I sold those a lot, and I tried to track those down, and I collect a few little Franklin Mint, like I have an A-10 and then an A-4, like Air Force planes, but not really, nothing beyond that. Like I said,
I wish you guys could see Brandon in the chat. His collection of stuff is pretty sweet, because he doesn't collect one type of thing or one, you know, team or, you know, category. He's like super into like all kinds of stuff, dude. His collection is freaking sick. His garage is all decked out. He's got a sweet, he's got a good eye too. So like him and I, like, I know we gotta get onto that stuff, but him and I we've picked this warehouse multiple times, and, he's got such a good eye for stuff, things that like I would never even look at and think that they're valuable or really even be interested in them to even look them up or whatever. He'll pick them up, and he'll pick them up because he is like just interested in, you know, this, like the other day it was freaking cassettes. You know what I mean? He just picked up a whole bunch of cassettes because he saw a couple in there of like some notable names, and yeah, and like he always like ends up doing super well on kind of obscure, like random items like that or whatever. So he's a pretty smart guy. I was gonna say something, but I can't say it now.
You saved yourself? We need him to go to the bins with us.
Exactly. Pricing right. Strategies, boys.
Now, we'll talk a little bit about it. We'll only need to hang out on it for a few minutes. I'll dig into it a little bit more next week. We'll probably do pricing strategies then. But what I wanted to say was, if you have, you're trying to build this inventory up to 3,000 or 4,000 things, I think I went through a poor pricing strategy to where it really kind of ballooned the store a little bit bigger than it needed to be. And if you're pricing things right the first time, I don't think I really needed as much room as I thought that I needed. So I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on the eBay and how you come in on the price. Are you guys in the camp of kind of pricing it high and then taking the best offer? Do you price it exactly what you want to sell it for?
I think for me, I do it both ways, and it depends on the piece. So if I have something like, I know you've talked about this plenty of times, if you have something that's like one of something, you're going to go price that thing up. You know, maybe you take the best offer, maybe you don't. But for the middle of the road stuff, you know, I'll see what it's selling for, and then I'll probably try and come in under it just to move it. That's me.
Yeah. I have two thoughts on it. Number one is anything with usually I look at 80% and higher sell-through rates. I'm pricing at or slightly above the sold comps. Because A, I know at a bare minimum, it'll get a lot of views. Somebody will probably buy it pretty quick. And even if they don't buy it at what I'm asking, I'll take an offer. And that offer is generally around what the going rate of it is. I do that with cameras basically 100% of the time. You know, a lot of the cameras I pick up are over 100% sell through. If it's a $100 camera, and obviously mine's not beat up and all this other crap, but you know, it's in nice shape, I'll price it at 120, and like, I don't know, 50, 60, 70% of the time it'll sell at 120, and it'll sell fast at 120. But if it doesn't, I take a $100 offer and I'm still getting the same $100 that I would have listed it for versus listing it for $100 on 100%+ sell through rate item and getting an offer for 90, right? And taking that offer because it's only 10 bucks. But if you price it up just a little bit more, you know what I mean? That jump to what it to the going rate isn't as bad. On the flip side of that coin, if I pick something up that has a horrible sell through rate, say 5, 10, 15% or whatever, which I try not to pick up anyway, but if I do and the sold comps are 30, 40 bucks, what do? I price it at 25. I price it at 25 because it's severely under the market. And then if somebody offers me 20, it's gone. Right. So my rule always, basically always, is 50%, so less than 50% of a sell-through rate, then I'm going to undercut the market heavily. Over 50%, I'll kind of be in that middle of the road. If you're at 80 and above or 75 and above on the sell-through rate, I'm going to price 10, 15, 20% higher than the market. That way I can take an offer and basically get market value or sometimes sell one a little over market.
Totally makes sense. I just noticed since I really kind of went to this, when selling these earbuds, I went to free shipping and no offers on some of that stuff. And so I feel like on hats, I used offers more as a crutch.
That's so good. That's literally JD. That is absolutely hilarious.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
That's so funny.
JD says, I have the perfect strategy. I buy stuff nobody wants. That way I get it on the cheap. And we've all been there. And then you can't find a way to sell it. But having to do like free ship and having like no offers, because a lot of times I won't do free ship and offers. Had to just kind of hone in more on exactly what is this thing going to sell for, and without having to mess with an offer at all. And I think kind of doing the earbud game has helped me out a lot in that, and just getting things priced to move. And hats are different because, like you were talking about your Rolling Stone hat, so sometimes you just have to price it and you have to wait. I mean, it doesn't matter if you price that Rolling Stone hat at $15. It may still take 90 days to sell. The right exact person that wanted a vintage Rolling Stone hat that would have paid $15 or $60 just may not have been there yet. And you may not find them, and it just may take that time. And so it's definitely a fine line to walk. And that's why I always err, kind of like you said, Rob. If I have something that is unique and nobody else has, I'll err on the high side. But, yeah, it's just tough to figure out sometimes. But those things – and those don't have, like – those are items that don't have a lot of comp either.
Yeah, exactly.
And you wouldn't – and so people wouldn't be able to really figure out what the sell-through rate is on that to be able to – and
that's actually Brandon's question right there.
Well, Brandon said, what are your feelings about something you think is rare, expensive, but can't find? How cool is it? I mean, is it cool? Then you try to find something similar. If it was a Rolling Stone hat that nobody else had out there, it's. I would always look at what was the most expensive Rolling Stone hat sold for, and do I think this hat compares to that, and could I get about the same price as that? And that's where I would start. I try to find the closest thing to it. And if it wasn't Rolling Stones and you had a Who hat and the Who and exactly, and you didn't know what to price it, you probably couldn't find one out there anywhere. A vintage Who hat. I don't know that I've ever had that. I'd probably price it for twice as much as a Rolling Stone hat because I'd never seen it before. And I would see if I could get away with that. But, and then, give it 30 or 60 days, and then I would work my way down.
Solid.
I like a
solid strategy.
I think auctions do a good job. If you're a patient person, and don't mind, you know, say, for instance, that Who hat, say you've listed it at $200 or whatever, because you think maybe it's somewhere near there. That works. If you're impatient like me, you can drop that thing on an auction, a 7-day auction, and either you're going to make out or you're going to get robbed. But sometimes on those, because you know, it's kind of hard on those things. I think a good thing to do, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it, I never thought about this before, but if you listed that thing, whatever this thing is, and it has a good amount of traction, views. And so I'm not saying 100 in a day, but you know, there's 15, 20 of them or whatever, you know, after a couple of days. So you know that people are looking at these types of things. I think those are the things that do well on auctions. You know what I mean? You don't want to take something off of just a buy it now that has 3 views in 90 days and run it as an auction. I don't think. Because there's not enough eyeballs looking at it, you know what I mean? Or like looking for those types of items. But if you're getting an okay amount of traction on a buy it now and you leave it up there for 90 days or whatever, and there hasn't been any offers or you know, are people gonna buy it? Switch that thing over to an auction, dude. Let it rip. You know? Yep. Like it's, I mean, if your buying cost is freaking $1 or whatever it is, then you know. You might look back in a couple of years and be like, damn, dude, I lost out on that. Or it could work out and you'd be like, holy shit, I just sold a shirt for $2,000. You never know. You know what I mean? So
let it rip, Tater Chip.
Yeah. 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 I'm not the most patient guy in the world. So,
No patience.
All right. Are you ready for this? I got a $200 sale this time.
Oh, shit.
Can you hear it this time?
No.
It's got to be the iPad.
Got to be. Because it's Bolo time. All right, check this out. On Poshmark, actually, my best sell of the week was actually Poshmark.
Poshmark.
Can you believe that? Let's check this out. And I I think I talked about it last week, and I was really surprised that it sold this fast. It's $200 hat. It's not a shark tooth. It's not a splash. It's nothing like that. Like the brand that I was talking about, Laurel Piana, it was a hat, and it this was like a fit storm system. It was really cool, kind of I guess kind of waterproof, but it's a really great designer brand right there. They make a lot of pants and jackets, and they do a lot of like luxury wool stuff. Great designer brand right there. $200 on the Laurel Piana hat on Poshmark. I surprised myself with that one.
Nice.
Hot diggity damn, son. Let me hold that $20, dude. Let me hold $20.
It has not arrived yet, so I'm counting my chickens a little before they hatch, but it was still a great sale.
Yeah. Yeah, that's freaking
very nice.
Super good.
Very nice.
Super and good.
I got one more for you. We'll go with the earbud. Sennheiser is an excellent brand of earbuds. If you didn't know, check that one out next time you see them. Most of them, especially the newer models, were in the $80 to $100 range on Sennheiser. This one was sold in about 24 hours. That's all it took. Great brand right there. So there's your one hat and one earbud.
There you go.
Have y'all? I'd never heard of Sennheiser before. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that brand?
Never heard of her.
Keep your eyes up.
Got him like this. All right, here you go. Look, everybody knows about Nike and about Gore-Tex, but when you combine the two.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Right. Now here's something that's a bit boutique-ish, but it's not really because it's two giant names collabing. TaylorMade and Kith got together.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean literally everything that has Kith on it and TaylorMade on it is a couple hundred dollars. The cheapest one was this $90 guy right here.
Wow.
If you find
Kith anyway. Kith on it,
yeah. Any Kith is gonna just
I had no idea they did a collab with TaylorMade. I didn't know they had anything to do with golf.
Yep.
Only all right, here's mine. this is the Escort Passport 9500 IX radar detector.
Oh man, those people still buying radar detectors.
Yeah, and this one was like beautiful condition. I got it from a yard sale. I don't remember what I paid. It was like $5 or less. Like it was something super, super cheap. And this sold the second that I hit list. Like really? I'm being dead serious. It sold literally within like 1 minute. I'm not joking. For full price. Yeah, gone. So this one's the Escort Passport 9500 IX. It's the only radar detector I've ever sold. So I couldn't tell you if, you know, are a majority of radar detectors good or are they not? I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably like everything else where there's like good ones and shitty ones. But if you find that Escort Passport 9500 IX radar detector, it'll come with a cigarette charger. And it's so easy to test. I plugged it in. Everything worked. It comes with a blue LED. It's was in beautiful shape. They will sell within 5 minutes of you listing.
So that's an older one? So you're probably like 10 or 10 years old, probably at least.
Yeah.
They don't even put cigarette things in cars anymore, do they?
The car that I just sold had one in it, and that was a 2024. I mean, but it didn't have the actual cigarette, you know, the actual burner or whatever. It just had the cord.
Right.
That'd be sick though. So The best thing that you can do, if you're not a specialist like Steven, you know, which he's kind of transitioning a little bit out of the specialty, but, you know, if you're not a guy that knows a shit ton about a single category, like Steven knows about hats or like Rob knows about golf, just taking the time to look up a ton of stuff, as much stuff as you possibly can throughout your day or week, is super beneficial, because that radar detector is, and the Kith and the first hat that you showed are the exact reasons that every single day that we go out and source, you pass by $100 items, multi-$100 items constantly that you don't even know about, just because, you know, people don't take the time to look up everything. And you know, if you just grind at it, look up everything, you'll find that, you know, this one spatula will cost $100, and it, you know, shit like that will just blow your mind. You know what I mean? Because who uses radar detectors? You know, so it's, that's one of the just like the cameras, you know, just like the underwear, you know what I mean? Like there's so many different things that are worth so much money.
Yeah, I would have walked, walked right past the packaged old underwear.
Yeah, exactly. That's why bolos. And I also do a lot of this. I don't think Rob and Steven watch a lot of content on YouTube, but I do a lot of like in the middle of the day when I'm hanging out or at night, I watch tons of bolo. I watch tons of bolo YouTube videos. You know what I mean? Like I'll watch 20 minutes of somebody packing up orders that, you know, and they have bolos in there, and you're not going to remember every single one or write down every single one, but you know, some of them will stick. So, you know, just the more time you put in, the more you learn. You know, that's all it is.
And the more, sure, you know, Steven, yeah. I really wish you could get that graphic to go across.
I'll try and get it next week
with the what star. The more you know,
you don't know. The more you know,
you never see the more you know star.
Yeah, dude. Young. Yeah, it has rainbows and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's in Pulp Fiction, right?
It's in Pulp Fiction.
Tell them about your speeding tickets.
Did you get pulled over?
No, dude. So this was before we started the pod. I'll make it super quick, but we're coming back from ThriftCon in Fort Lauderdale, right? We're coming back. It's on a Sunday that we're coming back. So I'm gonna hit a couple flea markets on the way home. And I'm in this little town. It was called Oak Hill, Florida, right? Nobody lives there, right? And so I'm going 65 into 45. Okay. I'm
just for the cop. Pull the one up, cop, he lives there.
Yeah. I pull up to the flea market, right? I go around this bend, pull to the flea market. Cop pulls me over, right? And where he pulls me over, I pull into the parking lot of the flea market, is where I got pulled over. I look to my right, and there's a Carhartt Detroit sitting on the rack to my right. And I'm like, I look at Amanda and I'm like, bro, that's a freaking a vintage Detroit, you know, $200+ jacket easily sitting right there. And I'm getting freaking pulled over right now. I couldn't even believe it. And anyway, the guy writes me like a $160 ticket. I go over, I buy the Detroit for $20. I sell it for $250. And so I really only made like, what, $50 on it or something like that, because I had to pay for my freaking speeding ticket. Yeah, dude. Like, yeah, I've had a couple of those actually, unfortunately. That's why I had to get rid of the car, because I was like, I got too many speeding tickets. So I was like, I got to get rid of it.
So you got a Tesla now?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you
using the autopilot?
Yeah.
Because that's why I almost want one.
I almost exclusively, that's the only reason I bought one, because I hate driving so much that literally when I leave the office right after this pod, I will hit my home and I'll hit the button and it'll drive me from this office to my driveway.
Me too, Brandon.
And I won't have to touch it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Brandon, you see it? Me too.
Whatever, dude. I still have a Dodge Ram with a 5.7 Hemi in it. It's okay. I still got that too. You know what I mean? Gotta have the best of both worlds, dude.
That's why I gotta hit my sales goals, because I gotta get me a Tesla and hit autopilot. That's what I need.
Listen, I need a lot of stuff. That's why I need to hit my sales goals. So,
all right, guys, that'll wrap us up for episode number 12 is in the books. Dude, definitely see you guys again next week. I'll try to get it scheduled out better so you have a better idea, so you can hit that notification bell for when we're live so you can catch us here. But we appreciate everybody that downloads on the back end. We'll see you guys soon. Did you have something, Rob?
Hey, next week, let's get some chat bolos.
Chat bolos.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Chat bolos. Chat bolos.
Bring some
bolos. We're trying to build this thing up to where just like if you guys were here Brandon. a couple weeks ago, I learned about packing, shipping the whatnot orders after I've sold 5.3 thousand items on that app. And I just learned that. You know, this isn't like a you guys learn from us type of thing because, dude, there's so much shit we don't know. You know what I mean? So much shit we don't know. Yeah. So, you know, if anybody wants to drop that stuff in every week, from a matter of fact, like every week, if you guys want to drop in stuff that you guys have found or cool little ways that you guys do stuff or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
Holler at us because, you know, nobody will ever know everything. So, and also please bookmark. I have a hat show on, the 26th of this month. I think that's next week. I think it's the end of next week. I'll charge for pro tips. 26th of next week, I'll have probably, I don't know, I'll have probably like 60 or 70 freaking studs.
Yeah, I'm not going to make that one. I won't make that one. That's my
end. Bring your hats. Bookmark it.
Bookmark it.
32 years.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bookmark that too.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'm going to come to your anniversary.
Come on.
Yeah.
We'll do a show from here. I'll set up hats and you can come sell yours.
He said Escort is on top because of K40 went out of biz. I'm guessing that's the radar detector.
I don't know
what K40 is though. Is K40
number? He said bullet number one is Uniden.
Uniden and then Escort. All right, come next week with more bolos. We'll see you guys again then.
All right, homeboys.
Later. See ya. Yeah.